Hello and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I'm Jason Moitoso.
And I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And today we're going to be talking about the Pines. Sam, why don't you set the scene for us?
Yeah, so the Pine Barrens are a gigantic forest that just cuts across the total southern half of New Jersey. It's 1.1 million acres of land. It accounts for 22% of New Jersey's total landmass. And it contains, like, in aquifers and stuff underneath it, it contains 17 trillion gallons of fresh water. It's just rich in natural resources. It's a beautiful place. There's thick trees, crystal clear blue water in certain places. But it's not all fun and games.
Of course there has to be a catch.
Right.
So what's been going down?
Well, because of the thickness of the trees and the vastness of the area, it's home to countless ghost towns. There's an entire, I guess, section of humanity that lives out there called the Pineys, which are, as far as I understand it, just hillbillies. And it is home to more than a few local legends, including things like Satanism, practices of the occult and stuff like that, as well as the subject for this, our first episode on the Pine Barrens, which is the Jersey Devil.
You know, at first when you were describing that, it sounded like somewhere I want to go hiking.
Right.
Now I'm not entirely sure.
let me tell you, the Jersey Devil has ruined my life.
Sam, we live in Idaho.
I know we do. And that's exactly what everyone keeps saying to me. I have spent so many nights up to like 2 or 3 in the morning researching this. And then I'll get up for a glass of water or I'll get up to go to the bathroom or something. And as I come out of my bedroom, I am just waiting. My mind believes wholeheartedly that the Jersey Devil is going to be standing in my front room. And I don't know what I'm going to do.
And see, stuff just like that is where my skepticism comes from.
Oh, okay.
So a topic like this, of a creature that defies what we know, defies science, even has a little bit of, like, a biblical reference to it. I like these kind of stories.
Oh, they're fascinating.
I love them to death, and I want them to be incredibly real as much as possible.
They are.
But
no.
The story of the Jersey Devil has evolved over the past 300 years or so, and I think it is an incredibly great one, but I also think the fact that it's just too well known may be the cause of some of the most recent sightings.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll get there. Okay, you're jumping way ahead here. Let's start with, what is the Jersey Devil? Why don't you take us through the origin story?
So, the origin story about Mother Leeds, which is actually Deborah Leeds, back in 1735, when she was pregnant with her 13th child. Ooh, isn't that a great number?
Yeah, that's not... It's 1735. You don't want 13 kids.
Are you sure?
I mean, you don't want 13 kids now, but you really don't want 13 kids back then.
I mean, you don't have to buy them iPhones.
That's fair. It's cheaper to raise
cheaper
kids.
Cheaper to raise kids. And, you know, sometimes they die.
You don't have to pay for, like, medicine and stuff, right?
Right, yeah. You just use them as labor.
All right.
A lot of ways.
That's fair.
Anyway, as she was giving birth to this 13th child, she says, in quotations here, "Let this one be a devil."
No, it's, well, okay, let me stop you here. It's not when she was giving birth. She was told she was pregnant, because even back then in 1735, they knew you were pregnant before you had a baby. And she...
Wait, what?
Right? Medical science is amazing. But...
Very observant.
One of the main things, and we're going to get into this more, one of the main things about the Jersey Devil is that the universe has a tremendous sense of irony to it. And just be careful, like, it's cliche, be careful what you wish for, be careful what you shout into the night sky.
I think it's incredibly strange that she wants her child to be a devil.
Well, she's just frustrated, you know, everyone, you get frustrated sometimes, but
I guess there isn't really, like, you know, ways to stop pregnancy back then.
Right. She throws her hands up. They say, oh, Deborah, you're pregnant again. And she throws her hands up and says, let this one be a devil. Just because she, obviously she doesn't mean it. But go ahead. The baby's being born.
And it's a beautiful baby boy.
Beautiful.
Absolutely normal.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely fine. Except a couple minutes later, it begins to change right before her eyes. It grows and sprouts horns and talons and new leathery wings. And it begins to grow hair, feathers, and his eyes start burning bright red. Eventually, after this transformation, it ends up killing Mother Leeds and the midwives. And then flies up the chimney.
Okay. It also flies away. It also her husband, which, by the way, people are pretty sure that the legend of the Jersey Devil and Mother Leeds was a long time coming, basically. It had been a, you know, fact, basically, in this area for a long time but no one knew who Mother Leeds was. No one knew exactly what happened or anything like that. And then one day, they stumbled basically upon this Deborah Leeds, whose husband wrote a will that named 12 children who lived in Leeds Point. So the other part of this is, as the Jersey Devil transitioned and became the Jersey Devil, it killed its mother, it killed the midwives. It also went into the adjacent room where the father and the 12 siblings were waiting, and it killed all of them as well. And then it flew away up into the chimney.
That's a lot of killing.
It's
for a newborn.
Like, you have your first 10 minutes on Earth and you've killed 15 people. That's an accomplishment.
It's impressive.
It is impressive.
I mean, that makes sense for a devil to be able to do it.
But
so I jumped the gun.
No, you're fine.
Flying away.
Yeah, so it flies away. You know, other accounts, though, do have Mother Leeds as, like, a witch.
Yeah, more whimsical. Mm-hmm. I think probably a lot after more supernatural. A bit more storytelling that, yes, it becomes a little bit more livelier.
Yeah, so some people say that she was a witch who made a pact with the devil. Her baby was born a devil because of that.
It was, the Antichrist.
But the, right.
The devil's child.
The interesting thing is that before 1735... the Pine Barrens, while not the most inviting place, they're just normal forest. Ever since 1735, though, that's when people started describing a wailing and a shrieking and crying that comes out of the Pine Barrens at night. And as far as all accounts can be found, that wailing, those weird noises, didn't happen until the supposed birth of the devil as it flies out and makes it home there. The cool thing about the devil is that it has become ingrained in these areas. I mean, you know how we have, like, a state bird? We live in Idaho. Our state bird is the mountain bluebird.
I have no idea.
That's fair. You're from California.
It's the quail.
Our state bird of prey is, like, the peregrine falcon. New Jersey is the only state that has a state demon. And that demon is the Jersey Devil.
Which, I mean, makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like saying the Loch Ness Monster
isn't
a mascot for Loch Ness.
Right, which you can't have one without the other, which is really what a lot of this has come down to. And over the years, that's where people start to think, oh, it's just been overblown. It's been, you know, taken out of proportion. It was just a bird
way
or something
to
like that.
Explain something you don't quite know what it might be.
Yeah, and kind of contrary to what might be the logical progression here, we're actually going to start out with a logical explanation of the Jersey Devil. And then we're going to get illogical from there.
I actually want to stop you right there, because we never actually described what the devil generally looks like.
Okay,
that's fair. I mean, we talked about leathery wings and horns and very demon-looking stuff, but for most accounts... And we will kind of touch back on these accounts as we continue on this episode. Most accounts describe a bipedal, hooved animal.
Bipedal.
Bipedal
is like a bicycle where it has two pedals. Bipedal.
Walks on two.
Walks on two legs. Yep.
Pedals. I don't know. It might like bikes. You know,
that's adorable.
give it's a top hat and look at that. You got a set.
It's a bipedal beast. Bipedal beast. Now, all right, whatever.
Whoops.
It walks on two legs. Those legs are very skinny, very kind of disproportionately skinny to its body.
Gangly.
Yep. It has a long reptilian tail.
That's forked.
Forked.
At the end.
That's true. It has leathery bat wings. The body of it, in some accounts, is supposedly the body of a dragon, which...
Scales.
Yeah, yeah. Scaly, all right. Feather, you know, all of that. In other accounts, it just says it's like a long body, like a kangaroo, kind of. Again, adorable. and then its head is like the head of a horse, basically. It's long.
With goat-like horns,
goat-like
correct?
Horns, yeah, unfortunately.
So curled, yep. Kind of stuff.
And then it has two little T-Rex arms with
That don't apparently do
sharp
too much,
talons.
Do they?
No, yeah, he...
literally like a T-Rex.
They just kind of...
They're kind of there.
He just kind of holds them close to himself. I guess sometimes... Well, we'll get into it. He can use them, but... So that's what the devil looks like, and we're going to post pictures, we're going to post all of my hopes and fears, and you'll be able to get a good look at it if you know, go to the Facebook page or anything like that, but...
So, do we get to talk about the leads now?
Which leads? Deborah leads?
The Quakers.
Oh, the Quakers. Yeah. Okay. So yes, that's what I was saying is we're going to go ahead and we're actually going to start with a sort of debunking and then we're going to go into the events. Hopefully you'll see why here. But the most realistic explanation as to the origin of the devil comes from a fella named Brian Regal.
And this is, I think, my favorite part.
Okay.
Because it has the historical background that kind of spins the tale.
It makes
which is
it
what I like.
It makes it make sense. That's for sure. And it's in and of itself, it's a very interesting story. Brian Regal is a history of science professor at Keene University in New Jersey. He believes that the Jersey Devil comes down to something that he refers to as the Almanac Wars, and the Quakers and witchcraft. I know you love this. Go ahead.
Okay,
tell
me
about it.
Yeah, I'll start us off here. So Daniel Leeds essentially wrote and published a set of almanacs going through astrology in the current world. And it got met with quite a bit of skepticism from Quakers, being that it was a bit too pagan
right.
for their religion. Which, if you know anything about Quakers and late 17th century religious folk in general,
they weren't huge on anything that wasn't explicitly stated in the Bible. That was pretty much their life diagram.
Bingo. So absolutely they brush it aside and they start essentially a smear campaign against Daniel Leeds and his almanac.
I don't know if a smear campaign
it's
is the right
thing.
It's kind
of a smear campaign.
They accused him
of being a devil.
Of not being a devil. Okay, that comes later.
Okay.
Of being a pagan and practicing witchcraft, which, again, not the greatest thing to be accused
right.
of in
and
1735.
He, from what we've seen,
yeah.
did not practice witchcraft.
No,
was
no.
was not a pagan.
He seems like that kid in class who, like, the teacher asks a question and the kid says something stupid that obviously isn't the answer because he's trying to be funny or he's trying to, like, lash out against authority.
Flashback to fifth grade, huh?
Yeah, painfully so. that's what I think of when I think of Daniel Leeds is he's this guy. Because by all accounts, before this, he was an upstanding member of the church. He was a part of, you know, they're called the Quaker Society of Friends. He was one of the friends. But then he gets a little uppity. A little wily, he starts putting in astrology and that sort of witchcraft material. He starts publishing books about it, pamphlets. And then it's the nail in the coffin for Brian Regal is that he changes his family crest to include three dragons.
And to be specific of what kind of dragons, there are three wyverns.
Yes.
Which, if you know what a wyvern is, it is a dragon standing on two legs without any arms.
You're such a nerd.
I know.
Why do you know what a wyvern is?
Because I am a nerd.
I also know what a wyvern is. I just don't want to.
That sounds extremely similar to
the Jersey Devil. Right. Well, and we're still getting there though. That's not the end of it.
Nope, that's the end. I made my
point. It is a good point. And like I said, that's the nail in the coffin. But that in and of itself isn't enough to create that sort of a controversy, create that deep of a legend. What happens next, though, he gives his business, as he's getting old, his almanac business, he gives it to his son Titan, who almost immediately engages in a feud with Benjamin Franklin.
That'd probably be the last founding father I would want to get in a feud with.
He's so wise. But of course, Benjamin Franklin published Poor Richard's almanac. And like, he would use the same sort of stuff, astrology and all of that, in a joking way, making fun of it.
It was a parody.
It was just parody and all of that. Franklin, like, seriously, I don't think could be bothered with this. I don't think he cared that much. But Titan was extremely serious, and Franklin published a prediction of Titan Lead's death in his almanac, and he predicted it would be on October 17th, 1733, and Leeds didn't die because astrology is astrology. But it's, Franklin...
Yeah, it's something that you kind of want to believe in, but... He doesn't just really have any scientific proof.
You know, that's just our opinion. Sam. Okay, that's just our opinion. As weird as it is, I buy into every conspiracy theory and aliens, and I buy into everything you can buy into. I don't buy into astrology. I don't do horoscopes, but that's just me.
I do when the stars align.
That's fair. They align, like, every year. After Leeds didn't die, okay, Franklin kind of carried on the joke and started publishing. Whenever he would talk about Leeds, he would talk about him as a ghost. And then...
So for 5 years...
Think about this. This man built this nation. And he's just sitting back.
And if there's one person to sit down and have a drink with...
Yeah. But in 1738, Leeds did die. Did drink? Oh, copiously, I'm sure. Everyone did. In 1738, Leeds did die, and Franklin doubled down on the whole ghost thing. He basically, in his obituary, he said that he had actually died in 1733, but that he had been risen from the grave to torment his good friend Franklin. And that is, like, these are all the different parts of it. You have someone who was in the church who quickly became accused of witchcraft and being a pagan. You have an extremely influential figure, you know, accusing him of being a ghost and being risen from the dead.
Right.
And then you also have all of the other backstory, all the other just weirdness of the Pines that comes together, in Brian Regal's view, comes together to create this image of the Jersey Devil.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, the Jersey Devil was originally the Leeds Devil.
Yes, because it correct. Is from
Leeds Point.
Leeds Point,
which, Jersey. Honestly, I mean, for the Leeds family, hey, they got a place named after them. That's kind of cool.
Well, they were the settlers.
Yeah, I mean, it was their area.
Yeah, it's their house.
But still, I mean, it's still known as Leeds Point.
Yeah, and it was the Leeds Devil until more recently. I don't know exactly when the change happened. But this is the interesting thing, is that Brian Regal rejects the physical reality of the devil altogether. He claims that all of the reports were hoaxes or lies or, you know, people drinking too much or this or that. That was a big thing. A lot of comic...
Well, moonshine was also...
It was a huge
thing. Brewed out there in the pines.
You gotta love those pineys. please don't come after me. He rejects it all and just says it's just not true. And that's where I started. I actually started my research reading that article because I was like, oh, this seems really fascinating. And I started my research believing wholeheartedly that this was not necessarily a hoax, but a misidentification or it's back in 1735. What did people actually know back then?
I mean, a story after 300 years can change a little bit.
So that's where I started. That's why we started this episode with this, because I went from that into being a full-blooded 100% the Jersey Devil is real and it's coming for me specifically. It's here already sort of a person. So,
and I did the exact opposite flip. I believed wholeheartedly, and now I think it's just a really cool legend.
I'm so disappointed in you. Anyway, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, though. The thing about the Jersey Devil is that there have been thousands, literally thousands of documented sightings. We're going to start with some of the all-stars, some of the coolest ones. You know, right off the bat, you have people going through the Pine Barrens, and the Jersey Devil is said to interact with another very legendary but undoubtedly real person in history, and that's the pirate Captain Kidd. People will see in the devil, in the pines, they'll see the Jersey Devil supposedly walking with a headless pirate, because Captain Kidd buried his treasure somewhere in the pines and decapitated one of his crew members so that his spirit could stand guard over it for all eternity. So some people will see the devil there. Some people will see the devil in the company of a golden-haired girl who spends all of her time staring out at sea, waiting for her lover to return for a voyage. What's interesting about this is that, as we'll see here in a few minutes, the devil is nothing but just pure fear. When people see the devil, when they hear the devil, when they see marks of the devil, they are terrified. But this is the Jersey Devil sitting, waiting with this golden-haired girl. And it's out of character, but it's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah, and I mean, the Pines does have quite a few more ghost stories along with it.
But right.
It's an interesting mashup of those stories along with the devil.
Yeah.
Having some very key appearances along with some other fairly well-known people. Kidd. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
That is just a cool little story. And I can see where that was maybe exaggerated a bit.
Right.
And where it's easy to say that, you know, you can see the devil with the headless pirate.
Right, yeah.
But still, a cool story nonetheless. But some other accounts that we have with Stephen
Decatur.
Decatur. How do you spell that? Or say that?
Decatur. And I'd like to say before this, these ones are hotly contested. These ones are very much after the fact. But they're great stories. So yeah, the one of the earlier sightings, which happened in the 1820s. The other thing, 20s.
Yeah, you got it.
But the other thing we forgot to say is that in 1740, really quick, I'm going to plug this in. In 1740, the residents of the Pine Barrens were so afraid of the Jersey Devil that they called in a priest who placed a 100-year exorcism. Yeah. He placed a 100-year exorcism on the Pine Barrens to bind the devil until at least 1840. The reason that these two sightings are so heavily contested is because these are the only two sightings we could find
before 1840.
Between 1740 and 1840. So, cutting you off. Go ahead.
As far as we know, there hasn't been really any sightings until now the 1820s.
Yes, correct. Yeah, just the howling and the shrieking.
So he woke up, you know, 80 years or 20 years early.
He was just taking a nap.
Yeah, that's really all that was. I'm sorry, remind me again on the pronunciation of his name.
Stephen Decatur.
I don't understand why I have so much of a problem with Decatur. He's a war hero.
Decorated war hero.
Yep, from the War of 1812. And apparently he is rather fond of how his cannonballs are made. He's actually at a mill inspecting the fabrication of new cannonballs. And lo and behold, he found the devil flying through the sky and decided to actually take aim at it. Which, for a man that is that, you know, interested of how well his cannonballs are made, he's probably a decent shot.
Probably pretty good with the cannon, but the important thing is to remember, cannons did not fire in straight lines at this point.
No, they definitely aren't.
You pointed a cannon at a group of people or a warship, and you fired it because you knew no matter where it goes, it's going to hit something. Yeah. But the story goes that he points it up in the air, adjusts for wind or whatever, lights the fuse, the cannonball goes out, hits the devil right in the wing, and actually blows a hole in the wing. Like, people can see
a hole. Light shining through it.
Yeah, light coming through it, and the devil just flies away.
Just doesn't care.
Yeah, just whatever. Doesn't care. Decatur was an interesting fellow. Like Jason said, he's a decorated war hero. War of 1812, also the Barbary Wars, which is what he was actually testing cannonballs for use for. But he received, like, the Congressional Gold Medal. He received, or he has, like, five, I think, battleships named after him. So if it was him who reported this, I mean, he's not a crazy person.
Yeah,
he's
he
not.
Might be a pretty,
yeah,
pretty solid lead. That being said, I feel like this would also be a fantastic story to tell drinking with some friends.
That's true, yeah. Oh, I shot a devil. I shot him and I shot him out of the sky. It's a great story regardless. But my favorite of these two apocryphal stories is actually, and this part is true, Napoleon Bonaparte had a brother whose name was Joseph, who was the king of Spain.
I literally had no idea
until
reading this that Napoleon had a brother.
I know, right? And it just gets weirder and weirder because he has a brother. His brother is named the king of Spain. After 5 years, he's like, I don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, this isn't,
this isn't as fun as I thought. So he steals a lot of jewels and he moves to New Jersey.
It's Spain. Why wouldn't you steal their jewels?
That's true. But I mean, there's, they love gold over there.
Yeah.
He moves to New Jersey, which is just the weirdest thing for the ex-king of Spain and brother to Napoleon to move to.
Of all places to be, Jersey?
Jersey? Jersey. And he lived on an estate called Breeze Point, which is nestled on the banks of the Delaware River. He would go hunting in the pines all the time. This is my favorite of these two stories. It goes that on one occasion, he saw the tracks of what appeared to be a misshapen, bipedal donkey. He said one hoof was larger than the other. There only appeared to be two hoof prints instead of four. And as he was kind of like crouching down to look at them, he heard a hissing noise. He turned around to be face to face with the long, horse-like face of the Jersey Devil, and he was just frozen in fear. It was screaming at him, and he completely forgot the fact that he had a hunting rifle in his hand because he was just so scared.
Yeah.
He recalled the leathery bat-like wings, the horns. He had hoofed feet like a donkey. He saw the tail. He was paralyzed with fear, and the devil just shrieked at him for a little bit and then flew away. According to this,
all I can imagine is just a donkey hee-hawing at him and then possibly taking flight. Yeah, that was my entire picture.
According to the legend, he had no idea about the Jersey Devil. He'd never heard of it.
Which
I find it extremely hard to believe.
That's
because it's like I was saying, it's ingrained. And especially back then.
It's part of the culture, really.
But in theory, he didn't know about the Jersey Devil. He told a friend about the experience, and his friend then smiled and told him, you met the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Now, so those are those apocryphal ones. After 1840, there's a few sightings, but it's really the stuff of, like, kids' nightmares.
Yeah, it's spotty.
Yeah, it's like, if you go out over after 9 o'clock, the devil's gonna take you.
Right, a boogie story to keep kids in bed.
Exactly, and I wasn't able to find... I could find stories about livestock being killed and sheep being snatched and stuff like that, but nothing about kids being killed.
No child has officially been killed by the devil yet.
And I don't think there's ever been a human, as far as we can tell, who was even suggested to have been killed by the devil.
Right.
But people go missing in the pines.
Well, besides for the leads.
Right.
Possibly.
Supposedly. So you have a few different weird things. 63 years later, after 1840, though, in 1903...
Interesting.
Well, Charles Skinner, who's the author of a book called American Myths and Legends, he said that the tale of the devil had run its course and that in the new century, New Jersey would hear no more of
the devil is gone.
New Jersey would hear no more of the legend. And this is another one of those things. You have Mother Leeds who looks into the sky and says, let this one be a devil. And then in 1903, after everything was fine.
Devil? Psh.
Everything was already okay. Skinner's like, there is no devil. And
6 years later, there might have been a devil.
This is where we get into the bulk of the actual events. This is the stuff that changed my life for the most assuredly worse.
Sam, just don't go to New Jersey.
Fair. I'd like to go to the Pine Barrens, but I
totally want to hike the Pine Barrens because all those other ghost stories, which we will dig into later as well, a lot of them seem nicer than malevolent. So,
some nice ghost chick just sitting by the ocean? That would be dope.
Did you hear about the Black Doctor?
I did hear about the Black Doctor. We'll go into that.
Such a nice dude.
In our next episode. Great guy. The White Stag. Yeah, all that. Great stuff. So this is where it goes from being the boogeyman, the myth, and all of this, to, for me, being a flesh and blood creature, and it's what I like to refer to as Hell Week, January 1909.
This is also the week that I really can't be a skeptic of. Mm-hmm. This is one of those anomalies where things are just kind of stacking up towards mm-hmm. it.
It took place between January 16th, which was a Saturday, and January 21st, which I think was I'm going to say Friday. So it starts on Saturday night. Some people say Sunday morning.
If I remember right, early in the morning, too. I guess late at evening.
Yeah, so it's in that mystical, you know, the witching hour. And this guy, whose name is... This guy's name is Thack Cousin, or Cozen.
Thack.
I want to name my child that.
Thack Cozen.
Thack Cozen.
Your child will be ridiculed at school for all eternity.
Wickety whack, here comes Thack. that's what he would say whenever he went into a room. So Thack Cozen sees the devil flying down the street in a town called Woodbridge. This is his words. He says, "I heard a hissing and something white flew by. I saw two spots of phosphorus, the eyes of the beast. There was a white cloud like escaping steam from an engine. It moved as fast as an auto."
It's a battle rug.
It's a battle rug. That's the first, I mean, it's kind of like the heralding of the devil. It appears, this guy sees it, some other people supposedly see it in that area. But nothing too freaky, nothing too weird.
Just kind of spottings of something flying in the sky.
Yeah, yeah, which it could, you know, it could be a bird. Could it be a plane?
No.
When did planes come out?
Well, they were around in World War I, but I mean, they're
it
fairly
probably
decent.
Wasn't
1909 feels
too early.
It actually feels pretty correct for the Wright brothers.
Okay, so maybe it's the Wright brothers.
It's definitely not the Wright brothers.
Okay,
they
maybe
were
it's
more south. They were not in Jersey.
That's fair. So
in
yeah,
Georgia. Anyway.
Anyway, we're getting off topic. So Thack Cousin sees the devil flying down the street in Woodbridge. He hears it. He sees it. Now, and again,
like that
was...
Can't be whack.
Thack ain't whack. That's the 16th, either the late night or the early morning. On the 17th, that's where we really get to more of the scariness for me. Mm-hmm. In the early hours of the morning, there was a policeman in Bristol, Pennsylvania. That's about
50 miles
right around
from Woodbridge.
Yep.
So, I mean, that makes sense. A flight. It depends on how fast it's going. As fast as an auto back in 1909, which would be probably around 35.
We're just going to show our ignorance here. We don't know how fast cars went.
We have Google literally right next to us. We can find it out. Anyway.
That's fair.
I'm assuming top speed.
Let's say 30 miles
an hour. Around 30, 35.
Yeah.
At least that most people would see.
So just a few hours later. It would make sense.
Yeah.
So this policeman's name is James Saxville. He's on the beat and he's just walking down the street. A little bit of ahead of him, there's a turnoff into a dark alley and he sees the creature hop out of the alley into the street. He is standing there looking at it. This is not it zipped by as fast as an auto. Hey, this isn't anything like that. It is standing right there. It makes eye contact with him, unfurls its wings and screams. He shoots at it, which, again, not the most, guns weren't the most accurate, but they were more accurate than a cannon.
Well, 1809, I mean.
1909.
1909, yeah. I apologize.
They were accurate enough. But
I mean, the 1911 came out 2 years later, which is still a handgun we use today.
I did not know that.
Yeah, dude. Revolvers have been around for a while.
That's fair.
They're pretty accurate.
All right. All right. So takes a shot with a pretty accurate gun and the devil just flies away unscathed.
And that little description there reminds me a lot of Jeepers Creepers. You ever see that movie?
No, I didn't see that movie.
Oh, man. Watch Jeepers Creepers. Actually, no, Sam, don't watch Jeepers Creepers.
I'm a very scared individual.
You will freak out.
This podcast isn't good for my mental health.
Anyone listening, if you've seen Jeepers Creepers, that's the kind of beast I think of when it gets shot. It just doesn't matter. Anyway.
So what happens
after
next?
After the police officer, we also have a postmaster in Bristol. So
E.W. Minister. That was his name.
E.W. Minister. E.W.
Minister.
I thought it was.
I thought
like
he
his
was
title.
A minister, right? Yeah, I know. These old people.
But also saw the devil on the 17th around 2 a.m. So again,
right?
Very early in the morning.
There's a narrative. There's it starts here. It
it's
goes
traveling.
Here. It ends
yeah.
up here.
The devil mm-hmm. went down to Pennsylvania to scare some people.
Oh God.
And then we also have a quote by him,
mm-hmm.
and it reads as follows. I looked out upon the Delaware and saw flying diagonally across what appeared to be a large crane, which emitted a glow like a firefly. Its head resembled that of a ram with curled horns, and it had a long, thick neck was thrust forward in flight. I can't read today. It had a long, thin wing and short legs, the front legs shorter than the hind. Again, it uttered its mournful and awful call, a combination of a squawk and a whistle. The beginning was very high and piercing, and then very low and hoarse. Which also...
Not a bird.
Could be a crane?
I don't think it's
no,
a crane.
No, it's probably...
But it is. I mean, curled horns...
It's painful to say... Like, that's a darn good description of... The devil.
Yeah.
It is also a very, very common description of the devil.
But the thing about this is, the thing about these initial reports is that in theory, and they were reported, this wasn't reported 100 days after the fact. This was reported like the same day. That sort of stuff. So, James Saxville, the policeman, would have had no communication with
right,
that
really.
Cousin
I mean,
who would have had no communication with E.W. Minister. Yeah, they were all one after another. So yeah, it's a common description of the devil, but maybe it's a common description of the devil because that's what the devil looks like. What do
I
you
see
think
your
about
point.
That?
That's a decent argument. But also the townspeople of Bristol mm-hmm. found other things as well.
True.
As they awoke in the morning, they found strange hoof prints in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And local trappers... were quoted saying that they had no idea what kind of creature the prints could have belonged to.
And they appeared to be, let's try it again, bipedal. That's the 16th and the 17th. On the 18th, the residents of Burlington, New Jersey, there were no sightings in the day before. Everything was pretty much okay. However, they woke up on the 18th in Burlington, and they just found... tracks. Like, the entire city was covered in tracks. There was a family, the Loden family, who found these tracks circling their trash can, and like stuff had been rummaged through it, had been eaten. They were the same kind of tracks that had appeared in Bristol earlier, the bipedal footprints that had, you know, well, hoof prints. The same tracks were found all throughout the town. They would go through yards. They would go up trees. They would go across rooftops. But then the weirdest thing about it, I mean, even then, you know, you've got, let's say you have an army of pranksters who want to cover the town in hooves.
Right.
Well, the thing about it is the tracks would go for several yards, and then they would stop. And then they would come down yards and yards down. With no other footprints, no other disturbance in the snow.
So like a leaping glide.
Well, more a leaping glide. There were some that were significantly further, as if an actual flight had taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy to track it because there were so many tracks.
It's erratic.
It went past itself. It wasn't thinking the same way. But they went everywhere. They finally decide, okay, we are going to try to track the monster. We're going to bring our trusty dogs, and the dogs get one whiff of these tracks, and they're
like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah, they refuse. They
can't be moved. Not doing that. One thing that I think, now that we've kind of talked about it, that's an interesting correlation is the fact that Bonaparte's description of the beast was also mangled and malformed. Yeah.
Yep.
And that, and along with the combination of an erratic movement,
mm-hmm.
possibly around the town, and the sounds that the beast makes, it could absolutely be a very misshapen and malformed creature
mm-hmm.
that, yeah, is
just not natural, you know. The next part, I know I've been talking for a minute. I'm going to read this one too.
No, because you love this part. Go for it.
This part scares me.
Which is why you want to talk about it, apparently.
This is the one, this is the thing that has been keeping me up at night. So on the 19th, 2:30 in the morning, the day after all those tracks were found, you know, and just to wrap that up, people were losing their minds. Like, they were forming mobs, they were bolting their windows, they were bolting their doors, unidentified witnesses, which is not, the witnesses being unidentified, in my humble opinion, does not take away from the credibility, because people don't want to seem crazy. That's the biggest, like, that's the biggest thing that I have to say in response of,
it's a hoax or this.
Totally, but if they want attention, why would they be an unidentified witness?
And again, okay, that's fair.
Fair. But they claim to have seen what they described as flying death, and that description matched what A.W. Minister saw and what was the cop's name? James Saxville. But anyway, the morning of the 19th.
Again, around 2:30 a.m.
Around 2:30 a.m. That's the new witching hour, is 2 to 3.
Right after you get drunk and kicked out of the bar, you start seeing things.
Okay. All right. Well, that wasn't what Nelson Evans and his wife was doing. Thank you. They lived in Gloucester, right? Gloucester.
I'm not even going to try.
Gloucester. We're going to say it's Gloucester. Please email us with your complaints. They woke to see the devil standing on the shed in their backyard. This was the longest sighting of the devil. Usually it's just you see him, he's gone, he's flying through the air. You know, you don't see him, you see a footprint or a hoofprint. This sighting clocked in at around 10 minutes. And this is from Mr. Nelson Evans' account. It was about 3.5 feet high, with a head like a collie dog and the face of a horse. It had a long neck, wings about 2 feet long, and its back legs were like those of a crane, and it had horse hooves. It walked on the back legs and held up 2 short front legs with paws on them. It didn't use the front legs at all while we were watching. My wife and I were scared, I tell you, but I managed to open the window and say, "Shoo," and it turned around and barked at me and flew away.
Who would open up the window?
I don't know.
And call attention
from the Jersey you're Devil? You're in such a catch-22 scenario. Shoo. You can't. I mean, you cannot not do that, because otherwise it's just going to stay there, but you can't do that because it might kill you.
Right. I mean, if he knew the Jersey Devil's story,
mm-hmm.
it's not something really to mess with.
No. And that's the thing about the devil, is it dances. One of the things is that it dances on rooftops. You'll hear tapping on the roof. Yeah, just, oh God, it's here. It dances on rooftops. It taps on windows. It looks in as you sleep. Like, that's the kind of scary stuff that freaks me out. The devil here doesn't seem to be too aware that it was being watched. It doesn't seem to have like a supernatural sense about it where it's omniscient or anything like that, but it's still just freaky. The same day, professional hunters followed the trail of the devil through Gloucester, over 20 miles. The print seemed to leap over 5-foot-tall fences and crawl underneath spaces that were only 8 inches high. A report from the Burlington A Burlington police officer cited the beast, as well as the Reverend John Pearl Purcell of Pemberton, who saw it and stated that he had never before seen anything like it. So again,
I don't think anyone would have seen something like that before.
No, but again, not
unless they saw the Leeds family crest.
True. And read all those almanacs. again, reputable people, police officers, a reverend of a church, people who, especially in this time and area, are trusted people, are coming out and saying, "I've never seen anything like it." why don't you go ahead and pick up with what happened in Collingswood?
Ooh, okay. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So in Collingswood, a group actually watched the devil fly towards Morristown.
Mm-hmm.
And the beast was also spotted shortly after in Morristown in the Mount Carmel Cemetery by Mr. Smith, which that is obviously such a real name.
Well, okay, first off, that is a real name. A lot of people have that name. But I think it's weird. Why is it in a cemetery? I mean, that, it's just like so...
It's the devil.
Right. It's extremely cliche. It's the devil.
It's been seen hanging out with the ghosts. Obviously, he might have some sort of connection about it.
That's true.
So, whoa, Sam, are you showing some skepticism
it's
about
always
this
good
claim?
To be. It's always good to be skeptical. It's healthy. But... It's just a little weird. But from there, it Mr. Smith and him lock eyes, and then it freaks out. It flies off. And then what happens?
In the evening?
No. That same, like right. I'm not going to say 5 minutes later. Like, 20 minutes
okay.
later.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Totally. So, also, it is seen elsewhere in the town by George Snyder.
Snyder.
And the descriptions were... almost identical just to one another.
The same. Again, they don't even have the time to collaborate. What they would have
right,
to
it's
do...
It's not like now where if I see something, it. I put it on Twitter, Facebook, yeah. and it's immediate to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
These are, at best case scenario, newspapers next day.
Exactly.
So if anything happens, I mean, say my story of the 16th and the 17th early in the morning, people really probably won't know about that until the 18th, maybe the 19th.
Yeah.
If they're reading it in the paper.
And if you're brave enough to come forward with the story. I mean, a lot of people aren't. A lot of people are scared. They don't want to seem crazy. They don't
right. they
want
might
to seem
think
weird.
Think that they're jinxing themselves yep. and calling unneeded attention towards them.
Correct. And then let's take a moment of silence. This is the first time that I can find that the devil actually killed something. And that evening, there were hoof prints found on rooftops in Riverside, New Jersey. And it also... on the ground, circling the carcass of a dead puppy, which is just depressing.
Not the puppy.
And that's a common theme. The devil hates dogs. I don't know why, but...
And dogs hate him.
And that might be why
he
hates the dogs.
It's a natural...
Their ancestral enemy.
Yeah.
The Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
I'll remember that when my dog is barking in the night.
Thousands of years.
Then, to me, next comes the 20th.
Yep.
And to me, this is some of the most damning evidence.
Yep, this kind of put you over the top mm-hmm. and made me think,
okay.
Maybe.
On midday, not the early morning, not the late evening, like the afternoon.
Yep.
There is a literal trolley full of people in Clementon, New Jersey, who reported seeing the beast. All of the eyewitnesses... testimony was pretty much exactly the same, and they all matched the description of other people in the other areas throughout the week. I mean, when was the last time that an entire public bus full of people could agree on something? If this is a hoax, if this is a okay, we're gonna say we saw it, how is there not one person who's like,
I don't want to play along?
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. These people,
yeah, are... that's. That's the hardest thing for me because, of course, I'd say, if you're a part of a group, you want to be a part of a group scenario.
Right.
If a story's being told, you want to be a part of that story.
Right.
But for not one person going out and saying, no, yeah. they're full of it.
Not one reported. Not
it's
one
hard
reported
for me
dissenter.
To say, yeah, you know, obviously the devil isn't real.
Well, and later that day, this is where it ramps up. I mean, this is where people are losing it because trolley drivers all throughout the area are like carrying guns and like they are ready to fight if needs be.
Ready to throw down.
Mm-hmm. In Trenton, New Jersey, one of the councilmen, an F.P. Whedon,
What's up with first and
I know,
middle initials
I know.
And names today?
This,
it's all over the place.
It doesn't happen anymore. Like, you might have like AJ or JR or something like that, but everybody had this, but he heard, and again, one of the city councilmen, he heard the sound of flapping wings outside of his home, and when he went to the back door, he saw strange hoof prints just having paced around the back. I mean, and like I said, this is when people went crazy. Like, trolley drivers began to take guns on the road with them.
A ton of different sightings. There was almost mass hysteria
just
at this point.
Faster than you can report. Faster than it can be collaborated.
This is an event.
Yeah, this exactly. This it's an event. Churches began to fill up. And the other weird thing is that there were just chickens. Just
chickens?
All chickens, these Sam? Chickens were found dead. And it wasn't like they were found...
Were they
ripped
eaten?
Apart. No, they weren't eaten.
They're just dead.
They're just dead. There's not a mark on them. It's a head-scratching event. And that's something that you can, if you're really getting back in the folklore, you can read that the Jersey Devil, just the presence of it will kill, you know, barn animals and this
livestock,
and that.
Livestock, yeah.
Exactly. So then we're back in Collingswood, and this time it's the fire department. We already have the cops. We already have the postmasters and the city councilmen. So now it's the fire department who just fire a fire hose at it, just trying to stun it or capture it. And of course,
yeah,
it just flew off.
Yeah, it gets hit again by something and nothing happens. So, and then after that, man, these names.
You're going to be okay.
Sorbinski.
Mrs. Sorbinski.
Of Camden. You're going to correct me on that, too?
Nope,
no?
That's,
okay,
that's how that's pronounced.
Wonderful. Heard a ruckus in her backyard and went to find her dog in the grasp of the devil. She immediately attacked it with a broom. Ooh, boy.
These people have...
Brave woman there.
Balls of steel. They're tapping at it. They're yelling at it. They're
wood.
Shooting things at it. They're hitting it with wood brooms.
Ain't nobody come to my house taking my dog. And forces it to drop her dog. Then the devil proceeds to fly off. It took a sizable chunk of flesh from the dog with it, though. Her screams drew a mob of over 100 people and the police.
Oh,
the devil swooped back by, and the policemen fired their pistols, but the monster flew away unscathed.
How could
this... Is this like a crazy ghost?
Well, how... We're going to get here.
What is this?
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not the Sandhill Crane.
It could very
it's
well be the
Sandhill
Crane.
Never the
Sandhill
Crane.
Have you seen that crane? It is terrifying. It's actually not...
It's a beautiful animal.
It's a beautiful crane. Gray body. It has like a red crest. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It gets a bad rap.
And native to the plains land of America. So
our last sighting, though, for Hell Week 1909 is on the 21st. It's by a guy named Lewis Stir, which he's a Camden cop, and he witnesses the devil drinking water from his horse's water trough, and I think he just yells at it, it flies away. But on this day, and I'm pretty sure it was Friday, businesses such as mills and factories, they just closed down, and not a single person, teacher or student, showed up for school in some areas. So
nope,
just
that's it, we're done,
shut down
society.
A bird cannot shut down a city, a state.
Yes, but the belief in something can.
All right. Later that same year, and this is a super compelling account. There was a track walker, which, as far as I understand, is just somebody who walks the railroad tracks and makes sure everything's all right. A track walker witnesses the Jersey Devil fly into a power line. It created a massive explosion and melted like 20 feet of metal train track. Yeah.
It's a big boom.
Yeah. And you'd think nothing could survive that. But there was a search made in the pines.
I have an idea. Something with eyes of sulfur.
Right. There was a search made in the pines for a body. It was not found. Decades later in 1957, and it's definitely not conclusive or anything like that, but the New Jersey Department of Conservation did find the corpse of an unidentifiable creature in that area. It was burned, but they were able to find... They were able to easily see bones, feathers, and abnormally kind of long, but still muscular hind legs. Just like the Jersey Devil, you would think.
So we're done. The devil's dead.
I wish the devil
Ding
was
dong,
dead.
The devil is dead.
I wish I could go to sleep tonight, but I can't. And here's why. In 1927,
But this is 27. That's still 30 yeah. years prior to the discovery of a possible of devil a possible body.
Corpse and all of that. Well, and these ones again. So the sightings before 1909. That's how everything's pretty much categorized. You have sightings before 1909. The sightings of 1909. And,
yeah, fairly and, modern. Yeah, modern day sightings.
Yeah, everything after it is considered pretty much a modern day sighting. And these ones are hit or miss. Some of them, it's like, okay, what else could it be? Other ones are not super, I don't know, believable or compelling. And one of them is like this one here. In 1927, there was a cab driver whose tire went flat on his way to Salem. He got out, got down to fix it, had fixed it, and then noticed that the car was shaking. And he looked up and saw the Jersey Devil on top of it, just pounding on the roof. He jumped in dry inside. The devil inside.
Just likes to dance, man.
That's fair.
What's wrong with that?
I guess.
Dancing on rooftops, well, shed tops, now cab tops.
Cab tops. He'll dance on any top he can.
He just likes to boogie.
True. He jumped inside. He drove away. There was no... I mean, I think he filed a report. There was, like, no pictures of the car. There was no damage. There was no denting like you would think if an abnormally supernatural monster tried to make your car.
Well, I think it also depends on which description we go by. The account that I can't remember his name now, but the couple witnessed the devil on their shed for 10 minutes, and he was saying yeah. it was a creature that's 3.5-4 feet tall.
Yep.
And for a lot of, especially like birds,
yep.
their skeletons are very, very light, so that they can't take flight. So keep that in mind as well. It even though it might be a fairly powerful creature,
maybe not heavy, it
might not have enough weight to really cause much of a denting to occur. Okay.
Well, that makes sense. So that was 1927. Go ahead. What happened next?
Yeah,
the next report. The next sighting.
Real report that we get is in 1961, and two couples were parked in the pines. Ooh.
Yeah. Right. That's I'm pretty sure fun. They. I don't. There. I could not find anything to say it, but I'm. My gut tells me they were moonshine. Well, they were teenagers hanging out in the woods. Totally. Which, for more on teenagers hanging out in the woods, make sure to tune into our next episode, Teenagers Hanging Out in the Woods. We're going to go over that here in a minute. But
please tell me that's not what I'm actually calling it. Well, anyway, it so two couples hanging out in the pines hear a screeching, and then suddenly the top of their car gets punched in.
Ooh!
So the roof gets collapsed in somehow. They drove off and saw a winged creature flying away, ripping great pieces off the trees it passed by.
Dang. In that one, again, I didn't see any pictures of it, but, you know, the more people there are, the more likely I am to believe it, and I think that's how most people are. You have four people reporting this. This isn't one cab driver. Not that there's anything wrong with being a cab driver. I mean, there's a good amount. There's a good amount of people there. But the other side of it as well is that, again, kind of like we mentioned earlier, the devil has never physically harmed a person. It seems like it gets most of its aggression out on animals.
And rooftops.
And it really hates rooftops.
Yeah, it just likes to stand on them.
It was blamed in 19...
Like a bird.
It was blamed... Tell me about this, Mr. Birdman. In 1966, it was blamed for the death of 31 ducks, 3 geese, 4 cats, and 2 dogs.
Look at that. We're talking about 34 birds.
One of the dogs was a big German shepherd whose throat was ripped out. So that's 1966. This one as well. This next one is the reason why I still believe that it is alive to this day. And it haunts me. In 1987, in Vineland, New Jersey... There was an especially aggressive German shepherd that was owned. I couldn't find the woman's name that was owned by this woman. And it was found dead one morning. The corpse of the dog had been ripped apart and partially eaten. It had been chained up the night before. It was found 25 feet away from the chain, from the post that it had been chained to. There were no prints leading up to it, no prints leading away from it. There were only prints around the dead body of the dog, which had been eaten, and the prints were hoof prints. Bipedal hoof prints.
That's creepy.
That's scary. That's creepy.
So possibly explosion in 1927, Phoenix-like reincarnation.
Right.
Out for blood. That blood is animal-based in origin.
Dog blood. I don't know why it hates dogs so much.
It makes me sad.
It
makes sense. But dogs protect us. Devil doesn't quite like it.
That makes sense, I guess. Dogs are man's best friend, and they prove that
dogs call attention to the devil dancing on rooftops.
That's fair. Go ahead, tell us the
93?
Yeah, I don't...
My birth year.
Oh, mine too. That's fun. Now everyone knows how young we are.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate.
Let me preface this by saying I don't think he saw the Jersey Devil. I think he saw something.
Whoa. What?
No. I think this is just because I'm the most gullible person around doesn't mean I'm just going to believe everything. Anyway, this this is something strange that happened. I believe that it happened. I believe that he saw something. I don't believe it was the devil. Go ahead.
Yeah, totally.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so in 1993, a forest ranger by the name of John Irwin was driving along the Mullica River.
Yep.
A creature blocked the road in front of him, causing him to bring his car to a complete stop. He described the creature as being 6 feet tall, which, from other descriptions, does not correlate correctly, with a head like a deer, but with glowing red eyes. It had horns and matted black fur. It did not appear to have wings or arms. They locked eyes for a few minutes, then the creature ran off into the woods.
So that's probably not the Jersey Devil.
I don't think so. So, a couple things for me, at least pointing it out. Of course, it lacks a few key characteristics that we know about the devil.
Right.
But also... Arms. Yeah, for one, arms and leathery bat wings.
No arms.
But the other thing for me as well is that head like a deer.
Right, which is a lot different than a head like a horse.
Or a donkey, yeah.
Or a donkey or a border collie.
Wrong type of horns.
Right.
And glowing red eyes. That could also be, somewhat easy to explain. I mean, you've seen the shine of a dog or cat's eyes when light hits it.
Right, but this guy, the whole thing about this guy is that he's a forest ranger. Like, he's
probably seen a few animals.
He knows what, I think that's called eye shine. He knows what the eye shine of an animal is, and he knows that it's not that. He specifically mentioned that in his report. This was not typical normal eye shine. But yeah, so to me, I don't think it was the Jersey Devil, but it just goes to show that the Pine Barrens are weird.
Yeah,
the Pine Barrens are full of terror and abject horror.
They might have some inexplicable things occur in that forest.
Right.
And it is a definite place of a multitude of different sightings of different things and of a supernatural location all in all.
Totally. So we've gone through the episode. We both went through our own research. How does it end up for you? What do you think?
So for me, and a lot of these sightings, especially I think 1993 and probably anything newer than that. I mean, we've had a video game made about the Jersey Devil.
Did we really?
For PlayStation, dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah, crazy. When we have a vast knowledge of a creature, and when we don't quite see something, we really want to believe that it is that creature. We want to be able to have an explanation for things. And I believe fully that we believe what we see. That makes sense.
Well, but if we believe what we see and we see the Jersey Devil,
I also think that
we
want it to be the devil.
Okay, but so, and I can dig that, because that kind of falls into what I'm thinking. But if it was not the Jersey Devil birthed by Deborah Leeds back in 1735, what was it? Was it the Sandhill Crane?
So, and
it wasn't my skepticism. Sandhill Crane.
My skepticism does completely step aside from 1909. That is absolutely an incredibly weird event that occurred, and I can't quite say that no, something really funky didn't happen. There are reports that some of the hoof prints were hoax, but it's not identified as how many were. But all in all, from yes, all the sightings, it's hard to say no, you all are crazy. You're all right. Are in this
thousands
together.
Of people.
It's tough.
You can't
to
get
say
thousands
that.
Of people to agree on anything. Especially, I mean, people.
Pineapple does belong on pizza.
Pineapple does not belong on pizza.
See, there we go.
So the other, and that's a totally fair thing. You know what? This is the mythos. This is what we believe. And therefore, we're going to make whatever we see fit that narrative. And that is exactly what Brian Regal talks about. That's what his end result is. The other thing, though, about the Pine Barrens is that they have always had a weird kind of history. For instance, before white people showed up,
the natives,
I apologize. I'm not going to say this either one of these things correctly, but I believe the natives are called the Lenape tribe, and they referred to the Pine Barrens as Papuessing, which means the place of the dragon. And the Swedish called it Drakekill, which means Dragon River. So, to me,
the devil might not be a devil. It could be a dragon.
Right. Well, what it comes down to me is that on one half, I agree with you. We're going to take our preconceived notions and apply them onto the world. I agree with you there. But I also believe, and I agree with Brian Regal there, but I also believe that there is something in the pines, that there is some undiscovered creature, some supernatural entity. I'm not saying that it was birthed by Deborah Leeds back in 1735.
Right. That could just be a really good story.
Right. That could be the story, and the truth could be that there is something out there. Now, the weird thing about it, though, is that because the sightings have spanned 300 years, and it's not as though we went from we only had credible sightings and then everything else is, you know, not. I mean, some people think that. Some people believe that none of them are credible. But we've had pretty credible sightings throughout. So it brings in this issue of time. Like, how can this thing be 300 years old? How can this thing...
Right, it makes you assume that maybe there's actually just a population.
Right, a population of them. Or, and this is crazy, and I'm okay with that, what if it is, like...
A supernatural devil?
A devil, yes. I know. We don't want to talk about it because it's 2017 and it's like everyone thinks that devils aren't real. But this thing is getting shot. Like, this thing is getting doused with fire hoses. This thing is flying away unfazed.
Yeah, and I mean, if it is a dragon, I'm going to use that word for lack of a better
Let's
one.
Let's use it lightly.
In European and Asian culture, they live for hundreds of years,
yeah,
as well. So I mean, theoretically, if the natives were correct, if the Swedish were
onto something,
yeah, if it was a dragon type being from mythological culture, it could possibly live a span of 300 years,
right? Or like you said, there could be a population. I mean, it's the same thing with like Nessie. People think that there are, if there is a Nessie, there are many Nessies, and that's why
right.
It keeps existing.
They have to be more.
Some of the other popular explanations are the Sandhill Crane, which, like I said, it's maligned. So the Sandhill Crane is blamed for the Jersey Devil. It's also blamed for something which I'm going to make a promise here on the air. We are going to do an episode on Mothman. It is not going to be for a very long time because there is a lot of stuff about Mothman.
Yeah, I think Mothman is probably even more popular than the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Like, by far, there's a lot of content.
Yeah. But the Sandhill Crane has been blamed for Mothman. It's been blamed for the Jersey Devil.
It's kind of the obvious out for anything somewhat
right.
unnatural.
Right. It is a big bird. It's a beautiful bird. It's a little weird looking. But so that's one explanation. I completely disagree. Because the Sandhill Crane does not attack dogs, okay? It does not, it's not like carnivorous. It might eat fish or something like that. I don't know, but it is not, Doesn't have fangs, doesn't have claws. Fish. Right. Doesn't have claws. Can't survive being shot by arms. Bullets. Doesn't have arms. It just has wings. I don't buy that at all.
It's a little rough. It's a little rough to say it's a crane.
Yeah.
Another thing that just kind of popped to my mind, if there is a really small population of Jersey Devils, it would make a lot of sense for it to be misfigured and
like inbreeding.
Bingo. Okay. Yeah. So
lack of genetic diversity.
Yep, which could also be why maybe it got lost in 1909 from the flock.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, hey, throwing that out there.
I can dig it. That food for I thought. Honestly, I am 50%. It's something that's just there. That's not that has always been there, and it's just a normal thing. It's just weird.
Just something because, a part of the pines.
Because you know what? The world is a bizarre place. Have you ever seen a kangaroo? Have you ever seen a platypus?
Actually, like, speaking of kangaroos,
yeah.
There is also a lead on a hoax, saying that one gentleman, in order to stir up museum attendancy, dressed up a kangaroo.
Okay.
Glued wings onto the back of it and horns, and said he caught the devil.
Okay, well, this man is disrespecting
that poor kangaroo. He did buy it from a circus, so it possibly got a better life after that.
It got a better life by getting horns and wings super glued to it.
I didn't say super glue. I'm not sure what he used. It could have been like a rubber glue.
Okay,
but still, yes. I mean, he went from the circus to being in a museum.
That's fair. But I'm trying to say is that the world is weird. Like, there are weird creatures out there. Giraffes are strange as well.
They still only have 7 bones in their neck.
I know. It's crazy bizarre stuff. So that half of me believes that. The other half, I'm just going to admit it, thinks that it is like a demon, like a supernatural spirit monster. So we'll just leave that there. Right? We don't need to talk about that. It could also be, this is one of my favorite explanations, that over 1,000 people, including reverends, cops, firemen, and councilmen, were lying.
Mass hysteria!
That's possible. Then it could be like a pterodactyl or something.
Pterodactyl's a little...
Yeah.
A little out there.
Yeah, it's super out there, but those are...
Because they didn't have ram horns.
Yeah.
At least not that we've found.
No. But they did have more feathers.
They did, yeah.
Like, science is just destroying my childhood recently because it's like Pluto ain't a planet, which I can dig. But, like, dinosaurs had feathers, not scales. Are you kidding
me? That's the coolest thing ever. Could you think about genetically manipulating a current reptile and, like, a chicken and having, like, a baby T-Rex around at all times? That would be the coolest thing ever.
A lot of time and energy on this, I can tell.
Because, yeah, I think birds are really smart. But reptiles really aren't smart. So if you can just, you know, turn on the correct genetic markers to turn a bird back into a dinosaur, you have best of kind of both worlds. It is my dream, and I will have one.
Okay, but you did see all 4 Jurassic Park movies, correct?
Oh, obviously.
So don't. Well, the whole premise of those movies is that genetics, no one listens and no one learns.
But the great thing with genetics is that you can decide what genes get turned on and off.
Yeah, that's exactly what they thought too.
I will make it as loyal as a dog.
Okay, all right. So you do that. Cool. Well,
off topic.
That's Runaway the Jersey Devil. I think that's all we got. Jason, anything else to add?
It's probably not a crane.
So, okay. All right. Well, hey, everyone, thanks for listening. Like I said at the beginning, this is part one of at least 2 parts on the Pine Barrens. Our next episode is going to be an interview with our good friend Lupe, who actually grew up like in the Devil's backyard. He grew up basically in the Pine Barrens, and he's got some weird experiences and all of that he's going to share. So this one, ideally, if I can work hard enough, it's going to be out later today, which is Tuesday. That one we'll just have to see again, recording schedules and all of that. Apart from that, you know, you can find us on Twitter at Not Alone Pod. We're on Instagram at Not Alone Podcast. We've got a great Facebook page. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. Big ups to my little sister for making the show logo, which is super dope. Her name's Tessa Fredrickson, and I believe her company is called Sweet Truth Designs. I'm the one who made all of the crappy intro music and sound effects.
They're not that bad.
They're
Sam.
Pretty bad. And Jason sits here, looks pretty, and lends his golden voice. So, cool.
Well, do you want thank to say you the thing? For that, Sam. And thank you again to our listeners, of course.
Yes.
For sticking with us through this hour.
Hopefully an hour. We'll see what it actually comes down to. Don't forget, if you like us, you know, subscribe, review us in the iTunes store. And if you have any spooky stories or anything, reach out. notalonepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any feedback or any stories of yours that you have to share. Remember, whether in the bright sunlight of a beautiful afternoon or in the dark moonless night, we are not alone.